I want to say thank you. I got several responses to what we spoke about last Sunday. Positive ones. And I could feel it for a couple of weeks, just the weight that having feeling condemned brings on a person. And I could feel it peeling off of some people Sunday. So I want to say thank you for letting me know that. I'm going to try to follow that up today, but this idea of there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, condemnation being the exact opposite of justification. Justification means, I don't know why he did it, I don't know why he would do it, but while I didn't give a hoot about who Jesus was, he died on a cross for me and saved me before I ever even thought he existed. And when I thumbed my nose at him and refused him, he still cared and still wooed me and drew me till I came to a point where I saw the reality of who he is and I said yes. Now, what does that mean? If he goes to all that trouble, he doesn't want me walking around the rest of my life saying, boy, what a bum I am, and I messed up, and Thursday I said this, and I shouldn't have, or I should have said this, and I didn't, and we drag those things along with us. It says, walk in the light even as he's in the light. And that's what we're going to talk about today, is walking in the light. Romans chapter 5, verses 8 through 10, we looked at those a lot of that last week. I want to look at this thing, especially in what we said in Romans 8, the first two verses. If there isn't any condemnation and it's not coming from him and you're getting it, where do you think it's coming from? Not from heaven, not from him. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. You were formerly darkness. Pause. I always like to say, that's what they had in your senior album from school. You know, I said, you always put a little thing under your, I forget what I was supposed to be. It wasn't good. Something. But anyway, but no. In the senior book of life, everybody was born dead in their trespasses and sins. Everybody. Which means everybody was formerly in darkness of darkness, everybody. And not formally, but formerly. Former means I was five. I'm not anymore. I may act like it occasionally, but I'm not. And the same way, formerly, you were in darkness. But now you are light in the Lord. Paul says it in Romans 8, now there's no condemnation. That's the same thing as you're being light in the Lord. Nothing to condemn you. So walk as children of light. I like the way he says that. Walk as children. He didn't say, walk like adults in light. No, if you just got born, you're going to walk like a kid. But you're going to do it in light. But now you are light in the Lord. So walk as children of light. For the fruit of light, the outcome of light, consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. People say, well, I don't ever do anything. I don't do things good. Listen, if you do anything that's good, anything that's righteous, that's the fruit of light. It's because you're in the light and the light is in you. And you produce it. For the fruit of light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth, while we're trying to learn what's pleasing to the Lord. I can tell you that. I've preached this verse a million times. Well, 982,000, but pretty close. Trying to learn what's pleasing to the Lord. That's normative. That's what Paul says he did. When he got saved, he was walking in the light because he'd gotten transferred out of darkness into light, trying to figure out what pleased God. Well, if you're trying to figure it out, you don't already have it figured out yet. So everything you do isn't pleasing to him yet. And I told him about that. I said, Lord, this is kind of a mess. He says, read it again. I said, it says, trying to learn what's pleasing to you. He says, now you know what's pleasing to me, that you're trying to find out what pleases me. That's what pleases me. Come on. I mean, I'm going, I might be able to do this. I mean, it just shook, stuff off of me because I was so constantly aware of my shortcomings, constantly aware of I didn't do it exactly right. I wasn't perfect. maybe I didn't say the wrong thing, but I thought about saying the wrong thing. At least I'd wised up from saying to thinking, you know. But he's saying, while you are trying to find out what's pleasing me, I'm in you, you're in me, so you're walking in the light. And you're bound to produce what the light, the fruit of light produces, because that's what's working in you. And you also are not going to be perfect at doing it. What a relief. That helped me so much. Because I was honoring him, really trying to get it. You know, I can remember telling him when I first got saved, I'm even going to church. Like, to me, that was, could you possibly think of anything less invigorating than going to church? At that time, I didn't think so. We used to tell a joke about, if you had a choice, would you go to church or would you go to the all-night dentist? They had the same appeal to me. That was before I got saved, but nonetheless. It's hard to find the all-night dentist, but do you understand what I'm saying? It didn't offer much of anything of appeal to me until I found out I was a child of light. Amplified says it, this is Weymouth, I guess. It says it this way: there was a time when you were nothing but darkness. Now, as Christians, you are the light itself. Wow. Live and act as sons of light, for the effect of light is seen in your own experiences while you're learning how fully to please the Lord. How to fully please the Lord. You don't usually start out fully. Start out embarrassing sometimes. But I mentioned Ephesians 2 to you. Americans don't hook onto this very well. I find this very difficult for a lot of people to latch onto. But Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you formerly walked. You were dead and you were walking. So it says, you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you formerly walked. If you're born again, if Jesus comes and saves you and comes and lives in you, you can live while you're learning. He said, when you were born physically, you're born spiritually dead. And when you're spiritually dead, you can't act like it. If you're spiritually alive because you've given your heart to Jesus, it's going to show up. Maybe not perfectly. Maybe not maturely. But you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, which is darkness, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. And among them we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and we were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places. Wow. So we got to be in the light to be seated with Jesus in heavenly places. Would anybody disagree with that? And proof of that is he put the Spirit of God in us, so the light of God is in us, and we're in him. Now, well, then we can just sit back and relax. No, there's a whole bunch of stuff that goes with this, but it's how we can know and believe we're not under any condemnation anymore because we're walking in light. John says, in chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and he was with God in the beginning. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness could not comprehend it or overcome it. Now, Jesus says in John 9:5 to the disciples, while I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Why did he tell them that? Because he's leaving, he's going to tell them that they're the light of the world. So now we, because of his departure, are the light of the world. He who practices the truth, this is John 3:21, comes to the light so that his deeds may be manifested as having been originated in God, originated in the light. Paul says it this way in Philippians 2. This is a really good, I thought about just preaching this, but then people would be mad at me. Do all things without grumbling. Huh? Do all things without grumbling or disputing, so that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent children of God, above the reproach in the midst of a crooked, perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world. Don't act like your nosy neighbor, because you're supposed to be proving to your nosy neighbor that you're one of the lights of the world. Isn't that cool? That's his definition here. I want you guys to know, regardless of where you are on the maturation scale, if there is one, that I'm doing what I'm doing with you and in you for the benefit of those who don't yet know me. You're supposed to be able to appear as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I will have reason to glory, because I didn't toil in vain. So Paul's saying, listen, you guys, I've taught you all this stuff, so you'll be aware of the fact that you are children of the light. Light of God is in you. You are in Him. And you are here to be a beacon, to be a lighthouse to the people who don't yet know Him. So, he says in Matthew 5, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. And we've used that here as a moniker for a long time. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. This is the part of this. I almost just preached this too. So, but there's a sentence here that I think is so significant, and it gets lost in us trying to be the light of the world. And he's saying, you are the light of the world now. I'm leaving you as the light of the world. But look how he says it. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, for nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Then he says, let your light shine before men in such a way they can see your good works and glorify your Father who's in heaven. One of the things that makes us aware of what we're doing is that we are the light of the world to everybody in the house. In the house, in the family of God, here, in the kingdom, not just out there and at work and all that kind of stuff. That's coming. But he says, no, if you take the bushel basket off of your light, in other words, if you recognize who you are in Him and who He is in you, you can shine to other people who need the encouragement, who are fighting the same fights you're fighting. Man, if there ain't something going on in here, why is somebody going to come in and see that there's anything going on in here? We have to have light in the house. That'd rap pretty good, wouldn't it? I'll spare you. But you never hear this mentioned. You always hear, now, so go out and let everybody see your light. You might want to come in here and get a little Windex. You know, shine up a little bit. It's very important. He says the way that people are going to believe that you guys are following me and that I'm really the Savior of the world, is that you like each other. Actually, he says love each other. So the first part of us being the light of the world in the way Jesus tells it here in Matthew is give light to everybody in the house. But these people already know Him. Yeah. And so they're swimming upstream. They're sailing into the wind. They're fighting things, pushing back against things, dealing with, interceding for, just walking the walk, living the life, trying to raise kids, or for some of us grandkids, and all of that kind of stuff in a way that's pleasing and honoring to Him. And we need to get lit up. We need each other. We need to be light givers to everybody in the house. I really think that's a strong... Now, then he says, then go out and live your life and let your good works shine before men. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, which I read a little bit of it, he says in Ephesians 2:10, because we have these good works that he laid out for us before the foundation of the world that we might walk in them. Well, those are the ones that he thought up for, things that he said, this is the destiny I have for this person. I want these things to happen because they're going to be in this zip code, they're going to be in this area, and they're going to be able to let the light of Jesus shine out in a way that's going to affect that person whose mother's been praying for them for 19 years. And I'm going to answer that lady's prayers by having that guy in this place. And so we need to make sure batteries are charged. We need to walk in such a fashion that people see what's happening with us and they glorify God. Why? Because Brown couldn't have done that because he's not that good a guy. I mean, right? But if something godlike happens through a human person like you or I, he gets blamed for it. Well, that was like a God thing. Yeah. Must be up there somewhere, huh? I just think this is a very significant issue. We want to be lights in the world. We need to be on the street, in the playground, and at the bank, at Walmart. Don't go at midnight, it'll scare you. But out there amongst people who don't know him, and our lights need to be shining. But we can't have a 3,000-foot extension cord that's plugged in at the church building and then carry it with us. We got to be doing it. You right? And that's what lighthouses do. They go out there where there isn't anything else. And then what do they do when there aren't any boats? They still shine. Why? Because there might be an accident out there. Someone might need to see that light. Someone that the lighthouse manager can't see from the lighthouse can see the light. So it's not just, boy, I got to shine this thing up because I'm going to be out there Tuesday. No, you're going to be out there 24/7, 365. But we need to say, Lord, how can I fit into the master plan when you say you want my good works to shine before men so they bring glory to you? Well, see, God's really smart because he promised Jesus that he was going to lift the name of Jesus above every name. He's going to exalt him above every king, every name, every government. Well, how's he going to do that? By having people walk out the good works that God picked out from them from the beginning of the world to bring honor and glory to his name. Isn't that cool? So you are in on this. That's why we're called ambassadors. We're in. We're part of a play that sometimes you don't feel like you got the script. But what do? Inhale and exhale. Walk before him. Live before him. Live with him. And just know. There was a time not that long ago that we couldn't sit this close to each other unless we were wearing like welding masks or something. You know? Right? And that might have been a good look for me, but not for you, my dear. But no. What? Why? Because someone was afraid something was going to come out of us and affect them. I'm telling you, there is something inside of us that is supposed to come out and affect people. And you don't have to walk in with that neon belt buckle that says Jesus saves. You don't have to do that. If you do, make sure I'm not with you. I used to have this guy in St. Joe. And he would come into Perkins Restaurant. And under one arm, he had like the family Bible with the big one that you put on the coffee table. I mean, sucker weighed 10 pounds, I think. And a concordance almost as big. And he'd put those out on the counter, you know, on this where he was going to sit. And just sit there and go back and forth and everything like that. And so I had a girl. We actually led one of the ladies to the Lord there that worked there. And she I'm trying to say this and be kind. She said, that guy doesn't go to your church, does he? And I said, uh-oh. He would find us disinteresting, I think. But it's like, but we prayed for her mother because her mother was ill and her mother got better. And then so mom gave her life back to the Lord. She got saved. It was really cool. I mean, it took months. It wasn't like happened on Thursday, you know, but over a period of time. And I felt bad about this other guy because I'm sure he was whatever he was, but he was broadcasting something and people were picking up the signal and it wasn't bringing glory to the Lord. So what's the light, what's the fruit of light? Goodness, kindness, rightness. That's what happened. Now, I'm sure I was also deeply offensive and stupid and all that kind of stuff, but I only knew the good one. I knew the good example. But it's in the Lord's master plan. Can you get your hands on that? That we're supposed to be the light of the world to everybody in the house. And then we're all supposed to be in helping each other, encouraging each other, saying things, not saying things that help us so that we walk out the good works that he's laid out for us before the foundation of the world. Because those are the things that people see and honor his son. Doesn't that charge you a little bit? Like, it's not so random as you think. He picked out stuff for you to do. Well, why don't I know more about it? Well, that's what people like me are supposed to help you do. Really, it's the Ephesians thing. He says in Ephesians 2, you're all born dead in your trespasses and sins. That means you need to get born again. You got to get transferred out of the darkness and into the kingdom of his son, right? And then he said, there's these good works that he laid out for us before the foundation of the world that we should walk in them. And then he said in Ephesians 4, there's apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers that he sets. Why? To put in the church, to equip the saints to the work of the ministry. What's the work of the ministry? The good works that he laid out for you before the foundation of the world. That takes me an hour to do. But that's, I think that's our job. And so that equipping, causing you to be aware of, giving you something to pray towards. When people ask me, I don't know what to do, I don't know what I'm called, everything, I said, pray Ephesians 2:10. The Lord already picked out stuff he wants you to do. Let's get into that and not let somebody else drag you into something that's not that. And then ask him, pray for people like me, people who do this, to be equippers, to put truth in people's hands so that they can function and walk out those things. If these things bring glory to the Lord, you think they're not going to bring satisfaction to us? Oh, wow. Yeah, this would be the most satisfying stuff in the world, that you're doing the stuff that he picked out for you before you were ever conceived. Isn't that good stuff? Oh. So you can't walk around being condemned and get this going on. That's why it's so important, walking in the light. You guys have really messed with my outline. We'll see where we go. Being the light of the world is an honor and a task. I mean, it's both. Jesus tells them before he leaves in John 12. Jesus says to them, for a little while longer the light is among you. In other words, I'm still here. Walk while you have the light, so that darkness will not overtake you. He who walks in the darkness does not know where he goes. Don't get all your information from people who don't know the Lord, because they don't know where they're going. Now, and you need to pick the right time and way to explain to them where they're going, if you know what I mean. But recognizing that they don't have an eternal view, you take everything with a grain of salt. They can give you good, wise stuff about how to do business or do your job or, you know, that kind of thing. But when it comes to real wisdom that is God's point of view, they don't know where they're going. And that's what Jesus is telling them. So, but if you be the light of the world, he can light them up and they can find out. He says, I've come as the light into the world, so whoever believes in me may not continue to live in darkness. So he's not even blaming people for living in darkness. He's recognizing that's how they're born. And so it's only people who aren't living in darkness that can help a person get out. When Paul gets knocked off his donkey, and the Lord speaks to him in Acts 26. Jesus tells him, arise, stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you. You think there was some light involved in that? Yeah. Boom. said there was light flashing around him like lightning, brighter than the sun. And it says they all fell down. I could go back to that, but they all fell down. So there they are, people zapped by the Lord laying on the road. And I'm sure that was against the law somehow. But he tells Paul, "Arise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, that I might appoint you to serve as my minister and to bear witness both to what you have seen of me and to that which I will appear to you." So what you know so far and what you're going to learn. "I've been choosing you out, selecting you for myself, delivering you from amongst the Jewish people and the Gentiles to whom I'm sending, to open their eyes that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God." Wow. So when you're in darkness, you're also under the power of the enemy. He's really clear. Open their eyes so they can see, oh my goodness, there's darkness here. And there's the power of the enemy here. And I need to get emancipated. Paul goes on, you know, later to say in Colossians 1, I may get there, that we get transferred so we can get transformed. That's the whole concept. But you have to get out of darkness, which is to get you out from under the power of darkness. And most people don't want to believe they are under the power of darkness. But if you have not given your heart to the Lord, if you've only been physically born, if you haven't been spiritually born, if you're not, Jesus does not live inside of you, if you've not been bought with the price, cleansed by the blood, how many more things can I say? Then you're still in darkness. Pause. Oh yeah, I can pause for just a second. I'm thinking about in January doing something I haven't done for a little while. And I think I'm thinking about, this is like, you can vote, it won't matter because I'm going to do what he tells me. But doesn't it make you feel better? Bringing light to everybody in the house. I'm thinking about taking 1 week and talking about heaven and the next week and talking about hell. Because we get up in the morning because heaven and hell are real. I've done this before more than once, but I'm thinking, I don't know. There's people, do people still believe in that stuff? Yeah. Yeah. We were talking the other day. I might even have said it in here. I don't remember. But we had a lady come in the Saturday prayer meeting, and Scott and Cindy and I were sitting out here, and the lady sat right over beside me, and we'd never seen her, didn't know who she was, and she just kind of broke down, and somebody spoke a verse or said something about a verse we turned to, and so I turned to it, let her look at it, and I had one of my old beat-up Bibles that was highlighted and underlined, and you know, you couldn't hardly read it because it's been written on, that kind of stuff. And she said, "Oh my God, I didn't know if there were any people like that left." I said, "What do you mean?" She says, "People who underline their Bibles." She walked out of there like, there is hope, because somebody had underlined the Bible. So do we really believe in heaven and hell? Yeah, we really do. People don't talk much about heaven and hell. And if they talk about heaven, they're goofy. If they talk about hell, they're mad. And that doesn't really work, either one. And so, but he's saying, this is Jesus telling Paul, I'm going to use you. I've chosen you. I want to use you to open people's eyes so they can see that people are in darkness and get them into light and that they're under the power of the devil and get them into the kingdom of God. That's Jesus saying. So if you don't believe that stuff, you want to take it up with him, fine. You'll lose the argument. Well, I didn't think God was mean. He's not. He's redemptive. Everything he does has a redemptive flavor to it. But here he's telling Paul, we got to do this. This is Jesus, this is why I came, so you could go. So you could know the truth, so then you could go give the truth away. And he says, so, coming to faith, that's an evangelical statement for getting saved. It's not bad or anything, but coming to faith. But in order to come to faith, you got to get the hell out of hell. You do. You got to get out from under the powers of darkness. And we don't believe in that stuff unless it's like, you know, I don't know. Something science fiction or Harry Potter or something. No, there's real, real darkness and real, real light. And the Lord is real. And the enemy is real. And Paul says, I've been sent to open people's eyes. I'll read it again. That they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness and release from their sins and a place and portion among those who are consecrated and purified by faith in me. He says, I don't want to get them to hurt them. I want to get them to get them forgiven, to get them free, and to give them, get into the inheritance of the saints. In other words, Paul, I struck you by a light. I filled you with a light. Now you're going to go give light away. Yeah. But to everybody in the house. And let your light shine so men see your good deeds and recognize that they come from God and they glorify heaven. That's a wonderful description. I've been quoting, I guess I'll read it, Colossians 1. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord and to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to His glorious might for the attaining of steadfastness and patience, joyously, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has qualified us. There's no condemnation. He has qualified us. For He rescued us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son. So we can't accept the word of the enemy, the word of the accuser, to say, I condemn you for this and this and this and this. Because even if you did this and this and this and this, if you've given it to Him and He's forgiven you, there isn't condemnation for that anymore. And you can't live in it. And that's what Paul's saying. Paul's a bad guy. Paul was having people killed, believers, and getting them arrested and thrown in jail and losing their children. And that's why he says, I'm the chief sinner. I did all this horrible stuff. But that's not how Jesus identifies him. He says, you're the guy I picked to go get people's eyes open. And if Paul had lived in the light of all his sins that would condemn him, he would never have been able to follow the good works of the Lord laid out for him before the foundation of the world. Justification, which is to say, it's just as if you didn't do it. That's what being cleansed and forgiven and made righteous is. And the devil can't understand it. He just can't, because God hates sin. It's all in the book, time after time after time. So how can God hate sin and love sinners? How's that work? So He took Jesus and put everybody's sin forever in Him and had Him killed. And thereby squashing the penalty of sin forever. Now, it doesn't mean sin doesn't have consequences. But Jesus paid for all. I mean, one sacrifice for sin forever and sat down. It's finished. That's what He said. How can that be? I don't know. If I was Him, I wouldn't love people like me. I told Him, I said, why would you entrust me with something? I don't think I'm that trustworthy. He said, you're not the judge. Okay. Argument over. That's what the enemy's counting on, that we have more, if I can say this, we have more faith in how messed up we were than we have faith in how He undid all the mess ups. Right? That's why you have to not accept the condemnation that comes. But you did this and you said this and you thought about doing this. You're absolutely right. I'm a dirtbag. But my life is hidden with Christ and God. I'm a new person. The old guy's dead. I mean, quote Colossians 3, you go right on it. And out of that little song that we sang today comes gratitude. And out of gratitude, oh, I'm going to learn to love what He loves because He loved me first. I'm going to choose what He would choose because He's empowered me to do it. Because He don't want me doing this stuff. He wants me over here so that I can be an honor to his son and a blessing to the people that his son died for. Right? It's really important. You can't think condemned, even though you've done a bunch of condemning things. And if any of you think you haven't done condemning things, then you're lying, and that's a condemning thing. I know I had that talk one day with a man who thought he'd come into sinless perfection. Yeah. He was perfectly convinced that he perfectly had. I was less perfectly convinced. But 1 Peter 2:9. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a dedicated nation, God's own purchased special people, that you may set forth the wonderful deeds and display the virtues and perfections of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Well, how did I get out of darkness? That's when you got saved, when you gave your heart to the Lord. He did it. That's what he does. He transfers people. And he says, out of what? Out of the nursery. No, out of darkness. It's so hard to think when you look at a newborn child and he's cute, she's beautiful, you know, sweet and all that kind of stuff. But born into an environment where spiritually, as it pertains to life in God, dead in her trespasses and sins. Now, the Lord says, great, I got a way out. Here's the ladder. Here's the bridge. But we have to recognize, that's why we have to know that heaven and hell are real. Because people, you know, my wife's grandmother, who'd been Sunday school superintendent for, I don't know, decades, had a friend that got real sick, and he's a pretty good dude, pretty nice old guy. And I won't say his name because somebody might know it. And she said, oh, John, God wouldn't let a good man die, would he? And I said, huh? There aren't any. Jesus, what do you mean? He did this, he did this. I says, Jesus even said, God alone is good. No, there aren't any good ones. Now, there's nice guys, and there's pleasant human beings. But when it comes to the goodness that is the perfection of God goodness, nobody's good. Jesus alone. So what's the answer for us being good? Jesus alone. Now we get to be viewed as having his goodness.
Wow.
Well, he bears it better than I do. But that's the issue. He deals with us now through Jesus, who is perfect. Not saying we aren't. Well, that means you're not dealing with sin. I said, no, I'm going to read it in a minute. But 1 John 1:9 is in the Bible. When you sin, you need to confess. You need to admit to God, I sinned against you. Take it to him. Be honest. Be real. And the Bible says he will forgive you and cleanse you. So you can walk away forgiven and cleansed. Well, that's not fair. No, it's mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. We got to sing that song. But that's the issue. And that's the walking in light means we kind of ooze with grace and mercy. Having experienced it, we want to be distributors of grace and mercy, but not to the sense of we tell people, well, it doesn't matter if you're a sinner or not. No, you're messing up your relationship. You've got to walk in the light as he is in the light, and the blood of Jesus will cleanse us from our sins, right? 1 John. So, I'm going to skip a bunch of stuff. Oh, Chiefs don't play today, do they? They didn't play Thursday either. That's great. Shame on you guys. Let me brag just a little bit on the, on the light of God. Yeah. Psalm 18:28 says, for you light my lamp, and the Lord illumines my darkness. He's our light. Now, you'll notice it says he doesn't illumine our light, he illumines our darkness. So sometimes you get in a place or you get in a set of circumstances, not so light, not so good. Well, why did this happen? Well, part of it is because he knew you were going to get there and he's going to illumine your darkness. He's not wishing darkness upon you. But this is a fallen world, right? In this world you'll have tribulation, that kind of thing. Psalm 27, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? You ever fear anything? That's the enemy trying to block your light and your salvation. The Lord is the defense of my life, so whom shall I dread? No fear, because light and love dispel fear. And he gives us light and love. He says, for with you is the fountain of life, Psalm 36, 9. And in your light we see light. Okay, where are we going to see light? Come to the house of the Lord, where people are supposed to come and their light's supposed to shine on everybody in the house. I think we're making that clear. But that's what we need from each other. And that's what we can help people receive. In His light. Now, in His light is His presence, but it's also His Word. For God, who said, let light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Wow. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so the surpassing greatness of the power of God will not be from ourselves. In number 6, it says, Lord, make His face shine upon you, be gracious to you. I love Psalm 43. Oh, send out your light and your truth, and let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and your dwelling places. It's the truth and light of God that get us into His dwelling place, His presence. Then I will go to the altar of God, God my exceeding joy, and upon the lyre I'll praise Him. He gives us light at every turn. Psalm 97, light is sown like seed for the righteous and gladness for the upright in heart. I love that, the gladness and light are the same deal. Sown like seed. If you ever do any gardening, I haven't for many years. But when our kids were little, we taught them how you plant radishes. Man, they're up pretty quick. Potatoes take a lot longer time. Oak trees are taking a lot longer time. But he says light is sown like seed. He's pre-sown seeds so that when you need light, you'll walk right into the stuff and it pops up, because seeds have different gestation periods. And it's sown like seed. What does seed do? Bloom, blossom, grow. Sometimes I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what the next step is. I need light. There it is. I need light. There it is. Couldn't see it from there, but the light's been sown like seed. Isn't that? That's a great way to pray for people, by the way. Not a bad way to pray for yourself either. The Lord God is light. Who has shown and given us light, He has illuminated us with grace, freedom, and joy. Illumination has three ingredients, it says. Grace, freedom, and joy. Light arises in the darkness for the upright, and He's gracious and compassionate and righteous. Here's what we use. I remember seeing this the first time, teaching this, thought this was so great. Psalm 112, light arises in the darkness for the upright. The dark room, speaking of photographs, the dark room is where negatives get exposed and pictures of faith get developed. When you experience darkness, a lot of times, that's how pictures of faith get birthed, is dealing. Knowing that His Word lightens us. It says in Psalm 119, verse 130, the entrance, this is amplified, and unfolding of your words give light. Their unfolding gives understanding, discernment, and comprehension to the simple. Man, do I qualify for that? But that's what it says. And I've been playing with this the last couple days. And it says the entrance and the unfolding of His Word brings light. And there's discretion, understanding, wisdom comes forth. And it's like, as the Word unfolds, you can see these things. And then you can pray them that they might enter into the people you're speaking to or the people you're praying for. Isn't that cool? But it's, how am I going to walk in the light? Put your nose in the book. exposing yourself to the Word. And I've had people tell me, but I don't read so well. Listen to it then. I can't do it. I can't. I've tried listening. I can't do it. I start thinking too many things, and I can't do it. I need to be paying attention so I can write something down. Because don't do that in drive is what I'm trying to say. I did that once. I was going down Southwest traffic. And I looked up, and I'm writing notes. And I looked up, I thought, I'm going to die. This is ridiculous. What am I doing? But I had a thought. So I looked it up. Anyway, I made it. But light comes from the Word and from the Holy Spirit illuminating the Word. Go a little prophetic on you and we'll quit. Isaiah 42, verse 6, I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. That's Old Testament, by the way. I've called you in righteousness. I will also hold you by the hand and watch over you, and I will appoint you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the nations. Wow. Probably speaking of the people of God, not just a human being, but nonetheless, a light to the nations. Old Phil Kagi song from Isaiah 42:16. I will lead the blind by a way they do not know. You ever feel like that? I have no idea what I'm supposed to do. I will lead the blind by a way they do not know. In paths they do not know, I will guide them. I will make darkness into light before them, and rugged places into plains. These are things I will do, and I will not leave them undone. Well, of course, if it's physical blindness, he said, I will make darkness into light. Wow. Can he not also do that for people who are spiritually blind? Or who are circumstantially blind and they don't know what to do, which way to go? I think this concept of walking out of being doomed, condemned by the enemy. It's not just because he's wicked and evil and all those things, which he is, of course, but he hates God and he hates people who know God, and he does not want to see people's destinies fulfilled. He does not want to see passages of Scripture fulfilled. He doesn't want to see prophecies come to fulfillment. He doesn't want to see promises come to their completion. That's what he's like. And when somebody like us, reasonably normal human beings, have supernaturally wonderful stuff happen to us and through us, it just messes him up. I used to tell my youth group kids, it's like taking a sharp stick and stick it in his eye. They liked that. I kind of do too. But the idea is, I'm fighting back. We're taking ground. And not only that, we're cooperating with the purpose of heaven. Something's happening. Jesus is going to get glorified out of this deal. And we're working with God to have the promise of the Father met in the Son. That's a big deal. That's a big deal. And so I really believe it's like that. And so we got to realize we've been transferred. If we've given our hearts to the Lord, we have been transferred out of darkness and into light. So one step this way is walking in the light, because we're in the light. Now, you can walk back towards the darkness if you want, but you're going to immediately recognize the difference and say, what do? Turn around. Make a choice. No, I'm going to choose to value this more. That's called repentance. I'm changing my mind. I'm going to walk in it. So if I'm in the light, what's at the end of the road? More light. Increase. Illumination. What does that mean? That means probably we're going to make some discoveries about what these good works that he's laid out for us before the foundation of the world. Some of those things are going to come to fruition. I've never found one yet that didn't involve people. Somebody gets helped. Somebody gets touched. Somebody gets healed. Somebody gets delivered. Somebody gets reunited. Somebody gets brought back into the fold. Or they get well enough to go do stuff that exceed what we're going to do. That's still pretty cool. Because you get to heaven as this downline thing, man. You know, right? If they're so careful to tell you, so-and-so begat, so-and-so begat, so-and-so begat, so-and-so. I think is so-and-so helped this guy get born again, who helped this guy get born again, who helped this guy get born again. Right? Because there are rewards in heaven. Right? So it says. It says that that's kind of what faith is like. You've got to believe he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Well, does that mean everything that we're going to get is something we've already seen? I don't think so. This is not all there is. Right? I mean, the whole world's groaning, waiting for the revelation of the sons of God. Right? Something better than this. What we're looking at has already been the fall and the flood. Have already messed with it. Whew. I mean, just think of the most beautiful place on earth that you can think of. That's like refrigerator art, man. It's not the finished product. It's not the ultimate. Wonderful as it is, it's not the fullest product. There's another light, and in this light we can see light, consequently being enlightened. I guess I beat that horse pretty hard, but I want us walking in the light because we are. And the light of the Spirit of Jesus lives in us. And so as we do what we can do, trying to learn what's pleasing to the Lord, you'll get enlightened and enlightened and enlightened. Don't you have some people in your life when they walk in the room, it's like somebody flipped a switch. And it's like, whoa, what's with you? And they're either peaceful or joyful or, you know, and there's an effect because you can tell they've been spending some time in the light. I was doing one time, did quite a bit of the local TBN TV, and there's another guy that did it some. I didn't really know him from another town, but I knew who he was, and I met him coming out of the station one day. It was like February, you know, really cold. That guy looked like he was born in Maui. Man, he had a tan like you wouldn't believe. And I didn't. Because it's February in Missouri. You know, and I thought, whoa. And I didn't say anything. And I walked in and the station manager said, he thinks the tan helps him be on camera. Well, here I am, this little white dude, the bald head. You know, I never thought of that. You know. And you could tell he'd been in the light, is what I'm trying to say. But I think that the term is fake bake. Yeah, foil boil. And I thought, I get it, but I don't get it. And I thought, but see, that's religiosity. You don't have to have it. You just got to look like you got it. That's not what we're after. It's if we walk in the light as he's in the light, then we will have fellowship one with another, light for everybody in the house. And the blood of Jesus will cleanse us from all sin. Why don't we stand up? Let's just do this. If you'd like to be prayed for today, would you just step out in the aisle? It doesn't make any difference what for, whether it's physical, emotional, financial, relational. It wouldn't make any difference. And I know we've gone a little late, but if you'd like to be, I see a couple back here. If you want to, please raise your hand up when you get in the aisle so people can see that that's why you're there. Okay, good, 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 good. Okay, we've got some back here. Joni, yeah, good, thank you. Holy Spirit, would you come? thank you for what you say you do. And one of the things you say that you do is that when we open the Word, it brings light to us. It enters and it unfolds. It brings understanding, wisdom, power, authority, the presence of God. Will you come and touch those now in the name of Jesus, who for whatever reason have stepped out into the aisle? Come and visit them. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I've got a little picture of Lord, like a gardener watering plants. Somebody feeling dry, somebody feeling, you know, kind of crusty and broken up on the top level, you know. He just comes by, none say a word, just pours water to reach the root. I pray that you would reach roots today, Lord. With your power, with your healing, with your patience, with wisdom. Water the plants, Lord. The entrance of your word, the Bible says, brings light. I pray that people would walk away quickened with light. Thank you, Lord. If you continue to pray, Lord, lest the Lord changes my mind, next week we're going to spend some time, hopefully with and talking about angels. So, if you open your Bible this week and something about angels pops up, grab hold of it. Because I think we're going to, I want to talk about how we can be involved and they can be involved in our situation. So Lord, bless you. Thank you for being with us this morning. Let your heart be glad that we've been in the house of the Lord today. In Jesus' name, amen. See you on Wednesday.